Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Okay. Michelle Heftig, Tanya Nabi Hachi, Michelle Heftig. Okay. Let's see. Okay, Tana. It's about 12 lines down. Tana. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kame de Rav. Rabba Bar Bar Chana was learning in front of Rav as follows. Chariya is Shel Dekel. Shegidron le'etzim. If you have these huge palm branches, so that's what these tremendous palm branches. Obviously, lulavim that we have are tiny little baby ones. But if you ever seen a real one, and you got up close, there are these tremendous branches. Good morning, Rabbi Jay.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Shegidron le'etzim, and you have set them aside to be used for wood, and hence they would. So gidron is like you cut them down. You now have a pile in your backyard of wood that you plan on using for firewood. And this is, by the way, one of the main firewood, one of the main schachs that they use in Eretz Yisrael. So before Sukkot, if you're ever there in Eretz Yisrael, there are mountains. They bring them in by the truckload, they just drop them off at the side of the road, and they have some Yerushalmi kid there, eight years old, just standing there and selling them for 5 shekel apiece. But there are these huge branches, and they just drop them in mountains in the middle of nowhere. So they have these that you decide to use them for wood. And you changed your mind. You want to use them to sit upon. You want to use it for a non-muksa purpose. The halacha is tzarech lekasher. You must go ahead, and it's not enough just to, in your mind, change your mind. You must actually do an action that will indicate that you honestly plan on using it for sitting. If you don't tie them together, now tying it together would obviously help the sitting process, I guess, whatever. You know, you're tying a bundle together to make it some sort of, like, chair. So it's not just stam, like, okay, let's do some jumping jacks. Okay, that's an action. It's got to be an action that promotes the sitting. So you're tying it together because that's an action that will promote the sitting.
That has to be done before Shabbos.
Yes, yes. And this will make it not muksa. If you don't do that, it's still muksa. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, no, ain't it tzarech l'kasher. Merrily thinking about it is saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and use it from now on for chairs is sufficient to make it non-muksa. Who tanila? Rabba taught this b'raisa, who amrla, and he also said the halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Itmar, it was stated, Rava Omer kosher. You actually have to do an action. Ushmul amar choshev, you just have to think about it. Ravasi amar yoshev avapisha lechishev. You don't even have to have long-term plans, he says. He disagrees with both. If you used it once to sit upon, then that itself, even if you didn't like firmly say, you know what, I'm going to be using this from now on, and like you make a firm hachlata, this is going to be my chairs, but you used it once to sit upon, that already lends enough das that it's not muksa anymore, and that it's within your realm to use this as sitting. And Mamela, if on Shabbos you decide you want to sit on it, it is permitted to sit on. Yeah, I use these for sitting. I used it on Friday for sitting. Okay, so you can sit it on Shabbos. And you could use it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Rav Huda Amar Kitana Kama. Rav holds like the Tana Kama with this price. Ushmul Nami Huda Amar Karab and Shibin Mangamliel. Shmuel, who says that you don't have to do an action, but merely thinking about it positively is also sufficient. He holds like Rav and Shibin Mangamliel. But Rav Asi, this third lenient opinion, who is he following? Says the Gemara, who the Amar ki haitana. He holds like the following braisa, the Tanya, yoitzin bepekurin ubetzipa bezman shetzavan bekarchan b'meshicha. Good morning, Rav David. We're holding Nun Amud Aleph about halfway down. As it states, you don't need to do an action. If a person is, if a person has some sort of, let's say, bandages on him, pekurin is like combed flax, and tzifa is combed wool. So both of these things are items that you put on a wound, and you put it there in order to protect the wound, that the clothing that you are wearing are not going to scratch against it. So, if you go ahead and you dip it in oil, Sivan is like you color it with oil, so I guess it's like, you buy these bandages sometimes and they say they're, like a vitamin E on it, that type of thing. So if you put that vitamin E on it, So it's clear, it's an action that you went ahead and you're intending on using it for your, you're intending on using it for your, for your wound. And so now the reason why you're doing it is, again, it's not to heal and promote the health of the wound, but rather it's to protect it. That the clothing, like I said, the clothing don't scratch it. Therefore, it's part of a clothing rather than an act of refuah. However, if you don't put oil on it, so it's not considered a malbush, it is considered carrying, and Ramela, you will not be able to carry it, you will not be able to walk out with it on Shabbos. And Tosis points out, forget, walk out with it on Shabbos, it's going to be usher even to move it. So, the karchan b'mashicha, let's see, yotzim b'tziva b'sman shein shetzavan, the karchan b'mashicha, loitzavan loy karchan b'mashicha, if you do not dye it with this oil, and not wrap it around, then ein yotzin behem. However, the brisa finishes off. If you used it once before Shabbos, even if you didn't have full intention afterwards, v'im yotzin behem sha'achas b'bayin yom, then afo b'shalay tziva v'lay karchan b'mashicha is mutter lotzis behem, because you're saying that this wool is going to act as my bandage. So here we see that you don't need to do an official action to make something non-muksa. All you have to do is, even if it's not a long-term plan in your mind, but you used it once already before Shabbos, that's already considered enough to make the bandage considered a long-term bandage. Even if you didn't, when putting on the bandage for the first time, say, this is going to be my bandage. You just said, oh, here's a Clorox wipe. Let me use this as my bandage. And you used it as your bandage. And then on Shabbos, you're looking around and assuming that Clorox wipe would have been muksa, it is now not muksa. Since you used that Clorox wipe once before Shabbos, it becomes yours, even if you didn't have full intention to use it again. That's the chiddush. That's the third most lenient opinion. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Afana namitanina, we have a brisa like this as well. Hakash, sha'al gabe hamita. If there's straw on top of a bed, lo yina'aneo biyode, elemen aneo begufa. It's muksa, therefore you're not allowed to move it with your hand. You can only move it with your body, which is the heter that we have to move muksa with the body. People make a big deal about muksa. Oh, it's muksa. It's the easiest things in the world. I'm saying you just move it with your elbow, you move it with the back of your hand, you move it with your knee, your foot. I'm saying you can move muksa out of the way. Even if a person forgets something, a cell phone on the table or something like that. Like, oh, we left this on it. So you take your elbow. First of all, a cell phone you can move anyways, because it's a goofy mukaimer. But even if you can't do that, so you move it with your elbow. Aval says the Gemara, that's what it means, menaneo bigufa. You move it with your body. By the way, with regards to things like a soccer ball, you can't move it with your foot, because that's the way to move a soccer ball. You have to, assuming it was muksa, but you have to move things in the unnatural manner. Aval says the Gemara, if this straw was going to be used for animals, meaning it's not muksa, or alternatively, it was already somewhat used before Shabbos, even once, then it's clear that you intend on using it for a non-muksa purpose. And even though you didn't have long-term intention, but the very fact that you used it even once on Erev Shabbos is enough to allow it to become a non-muksa item. Then you're allowed to move it with your hands. Shema, mina, the Gemara proves from here satisfactorily. And who is this Tana, the Tanakama, who argues with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and says that you need it for a long term, that you need to do an official, it's not even enough to go ahead. So we have three opinions. One opinion is even if you happenstance used it before Shabbos for whatever you're planning on using it for, that's, you don't have to think long term. Even if you happenstance used it once, that's already considered non-muksa. Then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, and Shmuel holds, that you need to have a long-term acceptance. No, this is my bed, or I'm going to be using this rock. You have to have an official acceptance. And the first opinion, the Tanakama, who was also Rav, held that you need to have not only an official acceptance in your mind, but official acceptance with an accompanying action. Who is that Tana who needs an accompanying action? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. One time Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva went, I wonder if it's Rabbi Akiva's son, went to one place, and he found he found these huge palm branches. Shegidroim lesum etzim. They were chopped down in order to put to make wood out of it. And in other words, it's going to be muksa. But Amar lehem letalmidav, and he told the students, in order not to make it muksa, tzu v'chashvu kedei sheneishav alein l'machar. Go. You know, think about them right now that you're going to use them to make them non-muksa, so you'll be able to sit on them tomorrow. And the comment, so that sounds like you only need to think about it. However, he accompanied it with a psak. And I don't know if the reason why he was so makel, in other words, makel like a Rosh Hashanah, was because it was a wedding or there was a Menachem Avil. I don't know why, but he was being makel. So now, from the fact that the statement that he was going with Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel came along with this, I don't know why he was being makel. Specifically over there where there's a lot going on, and you know you have to prepare this and prepare that, make sure the caterer is being paid, make sure this, make sure that. But where you don't have a lot going on, then we're not going to be makel. And therefore, if you kasher, if you tied it together, you did an act accompanying with your thoughts, and loy kasher loy. The svara is, by the way, not that you're being makel. The svara is that since you're so busy, therefore, the fact that you didn't do an accompanying ma'isa doesn't show that it's still not muksa. In other words, this thing is muksa. These words are muksa. If it wasn't muksa, you would have tied it together. So it's still muksa. But here, I have so many other things to do. I got to pay for the flowers, the benchers. I have to do all the things for the wedding and prepare for the Sheva Bracha speeches. There's a lot going on, and memela, I don't have time to prepare. So therefore, the fact that I didn't tie it together is not indicative that it's still muksa. So it's not pshat that we're being makel. It's pshat over here. It's taka. That's taka the pshat. That's taka the psak.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
The last example, the article at least, it translates it that he said to his students, go out and intend that you're going to use these piece of wood.
Correct.
Go out and tend.
Correct.
So is that not similar to actually tying them? Because you're doing an action. The go out is...
No. An action...
You're not just standing here and saying, I think that I'm going to use the bushes outside that at some point and try to summon to sit on them.
No, so an action means... An action means an action that has the things involved in it. That has the wood involved in it. Well, yeah, it's not just going to help to go outside and do jumping jacks and something. You gotta like, it's gotta be an action that has to do with the an action that's affecting and the actual item in question.
Gotcha. Thank you.
That's a good point, though. It's yeah. Okay, Amar of Yehuda. First white line. Machnes adam malay kapasay afar va'asaba called sorokai. A person is able to fill up a box full of dirt, and he's able to do whatever he needs with that dirt. Back in the day, dirt was used for covering over spills and things like that. This is before Mr. Clean. So they used to have a thing of dirt in the corner. Anytime your kid made on the floor or whatever, just bring in some dirt and cover it over. It's also before Pampers. Darash mar zutra mishmei de mar zutra rabba. Mar Zutra said over in the name of Mar Zutra Rabba, "Behu sheyichad loy keren zavis." You have to go ahead, and it's not only you have to go ahead and designate a special spot to make it non muksa. But if you just stomp, put it in the middle of the house, the assumption is it's no longer in the box. You just like you know put make a pile out of it. But if you put it, so Bishlam, if you put it in a corner, so then it's going to stay there, and it's not, people aren't going to step on it. But if you put it in the middle of the house, people are going to step on it, and it's going to become bottled to the floor. And Ramela, it's going to be muksa. Amar Rabbanan Kemeder Rav Papa, Keman, Kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Who are you holding like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? The Ikerabbanan, Ha'amri Be'in and Maisa. They, who are you going like that, merely putting it in the corner, and not doing an action with that? Here is bringing out Jay's point even more. This is, I'm holding the item and I'm putting it in the corner. But I don't do a ma'isa to it. I just carry it. That's also not enough. I need to do a ma'isa to it. So this brings out your point even further. That says the Gemara, who are you paskening like Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel? Because like the Rabbanon, he holds that you need a ma'isa. They hold that you need a ma'isa. Amar lehu rabbah, afilu teim rabbanan. Nope, the rabbanan will agree with this psak that putting it in the corner is sufficient. Because ad can like ami rabbanan to be in and ma'isa. The rabbanan only said that you need an action. Elamidi de baravida be ma'isa. That's only if you could do an action to it. Elamidi de laba me'evda be ma'isa. But something that you cannot do an action to it, loy. You can't. Again, especially if the lamdas is like we're saying, the vart isn't that you have to do an action. The vart is that if you don't do that action, it's indicative that it's still muksa. Well, guess what? I can't do an action over here. There's no action for me to do. So what indication do you have that it's still muksa? Says the Gemara, name a ketanai. Let us say this is like a machlekes tanaim. V'chol chafen es hakelim chutz mikli kesef begarat koin. You are allowed to rub down and spruce up a keli, except any keli with anything. You let it like wash it down, except with a kli kesef, with this material called garat koin. Now, garat koin is some sort of sand or mud, and it grows. It has some property because it grows. Says Rashi in barrels, so some sort of moss, and it has this property that it shines up silver very well. So the problem is the problem with doing this is that the way it shines it up is it scratches it a drop. And so it scratches it, and since silver is such a thin, a soft metal, it's memachik. Using this type of thing smooths down the metal by causing parts of the kesef to come apart. So that you're not allowed to do. I'm not sure why there's no problem with just plain old shining. I know people are makbed even on shining glasses. Shining drinking glasses. So I'm not sure why this is the shine part is not a problem. Maybe it doesn't get it to like super shiny, like to tip top shape. Maybe that's what we'll have to say. But
what's mamachik?
Mamachik is smoothing down.
What's mamarech?
One second.
So mamachik is erasing letters.
I'm sorry. I'm mamarech. I apologize. It's mamarech. No, what do they say?
They say mamachik as well in the Masifta.
Yeah, so maybe it's mamachik. I'm thinking, I'm getting confused.
Mamachik is defined as smoothing in the art.
Yeah, it's smoothing. Mamachik is smoothing, and mamareach is smoothing. Mamareach is smoothing, let's say, ointments and things like that.
Okay.
I think it's all part of the same. I'm getting confused. I think it's all part of the same Av Malacha called mamachik.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. One second. Yeah, memachik is the one. That's what it is. Memachik is to smooth down a material, and memareach is to smooth down an ointment. Okay. Moichik is to erase. So I'm not sure again why it's not a problem of shining something, but says the Gemara, Haneser v'chol mutter. But using other forms of dirt, like neser and sand, it's permitted to shine a silver goblet. Even though, so the Gemara points out, but we have a machlekes. It says neser and chol is aser, v'tani neser v'chol is aser. So now what does this machlekes revolve around? My lab b'hakka miflegi. Is this not the machlekes? Nothing to do with polishing it up, but rather to do with whether or not the sand is muksa. My lab b'hakim if l'gidim ayisav v'be'in and ma'isav v'ayisav l'be'in and ma'isav. This mandam holds you need an action in order to make the sand not muksa. And since it's impossible to make the sand not muksa, sand is always going to be muksa. U'ma'isav v'loy be'in and ma'isav. This one holds that you don't need a ma'isav. Is that not what the machlekes is about? And the Gemara says loy. The kuli alma loy bein and ma'isa. Everybody agrees that you do not require an action. Kuli alma says you don't need an action because no action is available to be done. Like we explained, there's no indication that it's not muksa that I didn't do an action. Veloy kasha, and nevertheless, it's still no question. It has nothing to do with muksa. The shaila has to do with the fact that you may come to polish down the. You may come to scratch down the keli. Har Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Aser, and Har Rabbi Shimon, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter. And the opinion that says that it's Aser is, let's say it's 60% that you'll cause it to scratch down. That's Rabbi Yehuda, who says that 60% is aser. And the opinion that says that it's mutter follows Rabbi Shimon, who says that 60% are mutter. B'mayu kimta. So now says the Gemara, okay, how do we explain lahad d'shari, this brisa that said that it is indeed permitted, the first brisa? You're telling me that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So gerat koin, using this type of earth called gerat koin, that would taka be aser because that's a guarantee to grind down the keli, the goblet. However, but Nesser and Chol is not a guarantee. It's going to be mutter, says the Gemara. Let's look at the Seifa. Ema Seifa. Avalo yichav behem sa'aroi. But you cannot use them for your hair. You cannot use this Chol and Nesser for your hair. Apparently, they used to use it as shampoo as well. And again, every time you learn these Gemaras, you really have to stop and appreciate the society that we live in, that we have Pantene. Because this is how they used to wash their hair, with sand and Nesser. Nowadays, we wash our hair from sand. And my wife is always telling my kids, you have sand in your hair. Okay, that means I took a shower. So, I don't know whether she's bothered with. So the Gemara says that, but you cannot use them on Shabbos to, to wash your hair. Why? Because it will cause some of the hairs to come out. So now, if you tell me that this brisa is Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon, Mishra Kashari. It is Mishra Kashari. It is mutter. It would be mutter for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would allow us to wash our hairs with this sand, even though it's possible it will come out, because it's a davar she'eino miskaven. That's why, let's say for boys, for girls, it's almost impossible to brush their hair without pulling out some hairs. Every single time I lend any of my daughters one of my comb, it comes back with hairs. It's guaranteed. So girls should not comb their hair. But boys, if a person has, you know, sturdy hair and he combs it and he checks, an easy way to check it would be, you know, two or three times during that week, go ahead and comb your hair over, you know, a clean counter and see if there's any hairs there, and then check the comb. If there's no hairs, then it's mutter for you to comb your hair on Shabbos because no hair is coming out. Some people naturally lose their hair easy, so they can't do it. So that's why you have to run this test. But if you run the test and it doesn't cause any hairs to come out, it's mutter. Why? A hair might come out. L'mai said sometimes hairs do come out. The answer is, if you're running an 80% chance, and even an 80% chance that hairs will come out, it's still mutter. But as long as you're running a satisfactory percentage that hairs are not going to come out, then it's mutter to brush your hair. Now, there's, by the way, a chumrah to have a designated comb for Shabbos, a designated one for Shabbos. But you saying something, Jay?
I was just going to ask, if you're using these materials to polish something, you're using it to rub pieces of silver.
Yeah.
The goal is to make it to get whatever's on there off of there.
Correct. The problem is that it gets some of the silver also, and it smooths down the whole silver piece.
So how is this acceptable for anybody?
So for the graktein, it's takanat. Because there, it's guaranteed smoothing. So it's not acceptable. But the neser and the chol is only a 50% or whatever percent. It's not 100%. As long as it's not 90%+, then it's fine.
But if it's only 50%, that means you have to work twice as hard to get off whatever it is that's on there.
Maybe.
It's the same guarantee that whatever you're taking off, you're still polishing it.
No, so the problem over here is that the actual silver will become smoother. Not only is it crusted with last week's kiddush, but you also have silver on there that you're rubbing it with the sand will come off. That is the guarantee. Yes, the last week's grape juice will come off, but the silver will not necessarily come off. That's a 50%. The smoothing it down is not necessarily going to come off.
Okay, thank you.
It's not as abrasive material. It's not as abrasive as graktein.
Okay, thank you.
So Avaleich Vezer. Now, V'i Rabbi Shimon, says the Gemara, that brisa which permits you to use neser and chol on silver, nevertheless prohibits you from using it on your hair. Now, if it's Rabbi Shimon, that should be mutter. the Tanan, as it states, a nazir is permitted to chayfef umefasfes of a loy sirik. A nazir is permitted to go ahead and rub his hair with this sand, and he can go ahead and how do they translate this next word?
They separate the hairs by hand.
Okay, fine. But he cannot comb it. What?
But not to comb them.
Not to comb. That's the thing. I have a loy sirik, but you can't comb it. So now, here we have this Rabbi Shimon clearly says that a nazir, who's also prohibited from even knocking out one or two hairs, he also does not allow. He also allows you to use this neser and the chol. So obviously, this brisa which says you cannot use neser and chol does not follow Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So Ella Hava Rabbi Yehuda, both brises which say that it's mutter to use neser and chol, and the brises which says it's also to use neser and chol, are Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Betray tenoy, leave with Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a machlekes tenoy according to Rabbi Yehuda. Haytana leave with Rabbi Yehuda sover gorer, haytana leave with Rabbi Yehuda sover legar. It sounds like it's a machlekes in metzias in the numbers. What is the chance of it scratching down the keli? So some say it's a machlekes in metzias now. We're both in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that if it was a 50%, it would be usser. The shaila is it even a 50%? Maybe it's a very small percentage. Things could happen, but already that's considered a masasik. The chances of it happening are too small, according to the first opinion, to allow to aser it. But Mayu Kimta says the Gemara, how do we explain it? Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Ema Seifa, let's look at the Seifa. Av upon of Yod of Aragla of Mutter, but it is permitted to wash your hands, face, and feet. Ha me'aver sayar, but it will pull out some hair. How, if it's true that you're telling me that it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so he says that you're not allowed to scratch your hair. He says you're now telling me that it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So how come it's mutter to scratch your face and to use it to wash your face and hands? It's going to cause the hairs on the face and the hands to come out. So the Gemara says it's talking about a case where there's no hairs on the face of the hand. How is that? I'll tell you, Bekatan, it's talking about a young kid. Or a woman, or a Swiss, a man, a eunuch who doesn't have any, he never grew old. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Afar Labinta Ishari. It's permitted to rub your face or whatever, your hair, with crushed brick. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kuspa the Yasmin Ishari. Using this thing called Kuspa the Yasmin is also permitted. Kusbi Yasmin Rashi says is the leftovers of the sesame seed, either the plant or the fruit, if you make halva or whatever. Amar Rava, Afar Pilpili Ishari, it's permitted to use the ground up peppers. Amar Rav Sheshes, Barda Ishari. It's permitted to wash your face with Barda. What's Barda? My Barda. Amar Rav Yosef, Tilta Ahala. It is a mixture made up of 1/3 of Ahala, which is a type of a plant. Vitilta asa, it is 1/3 made out of a myrtle branch. Vitilsa sigli, and 1/3 made out of. How do they translate this one? I forget this one also.
Violets.
What? Violets?
Violets.
Violet, okay.
And the first one was aloe.
I hear.
Like aloe vera. Aloe, the plant.
Yeah. So the root of the aloe plant. Okay. Anytime it doesn't have a roiv of this aloe, it is permitted. Okay, new Gemara, according to Rashi, this next Gemara has no shaykhs to anything. In fact, this is one of the questions of the Rishonim to ask on Rashi, like, mech tasty to have this Gemara over here. But we're going with Rashi. Rashi says, what is the din? Is it permitted to bang 8 zesim, olives, on a rock on Shabbos in order to make the water, make the olive sweet? Ma'alav tzei zesim b'Shabbos. Amar lahu v'chi b'chol miyater. That's not even, is that mutter even during the week? So, kasar v'shem hefzer eichlin. That's usser, because you are causing a loss to the by doing that, you're ruining the juice that spills out of the olive. So it's Bal Tashchis. Says the Gemara. So one of the questions that the Rishonim ask is, let me just see if Taisa asks it. Oh, yeah, Taisa asks this one also. One of the questions that Rishonim asks is that, why is that considered Hafsechen? That's the way you make it sweet. I'm using it. I'm not allowed to put an orange in a blender because it's going to cause some of the loss. I'm saying anything I do, anytime I put a hamburger on the grill, some of the juice is going to drip out. I mean, that's the way to create this thing to be edible. So they asked that question on Rashi. According to the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, this is Shver. So I mean, I don't really have a good teretz for Rashi. I don't remember how we learned the sugya, but that Al-Kapanim, that's the way Rashi learns the sugya, and that's what the Tosis questions. So if you're uncomfortable with these questions, then you should at least know that you're in good company. Tosis asks them as well. I know that there was a lot of oranges that were left over. We got some oranges on Pesach, and there was some left over, and they were going rotten. So I decided to make my own orange juice. So I put them in a blender, and we made, you know, a whole thing of oranges. I put them in the fridge. Anyways, it turns out that that's not the way to make oranges. And it turned into this, like, very, it's almost like ice cream. But I started to taste it, and it tasted that the oranges also started to go bad. So it wasn't tasting good. Anyways, Lamaisa, I was going to throw it out. And then I told my kid to come here, close your eyes. And I put his hand, like, directly in it. I was, like, letting him smoosh it around, just for fun. So, and then I was like, am I being mafsid eichlin? I'm like, I'm not really being mafsid eichlin, because it's not, I'm about to throw it out. 5 seconds before I throw it out, I say, you may as well get something out of this and use it. Then there's a shaila of bizui eichlin. I was thinking that you're mistreating food. So I wasn't sure if that was proper. But al hefsid eichlin is definitely a hefsid eichlin. Says the Gemara, Lema pligi de Shmuel, let us say this argues on Shmuel, Amr Shmuel oysa adam kal tzorki bepas. You know, person, you're allowed to do whatever you want with food. And the Gemara says, no, Amri pas loy meisa. If you take a loaf of bread and use it for a paperweight for half an hour, it doesn't become gross. Hani, but if you bang these olives, meisi, it becomes gross, and you're not going to use the juice that comes out of it. Amemar ma'azucha v'ravashi aviyasvi, they were sitting together. Aisi l'kamayu barda, they brought barda in front of them. Amemar v'ravashi moshu. Amemar v'ravashi used it to wash their hands and face on Shabbos. Ma'azucha loy moshu, he didn't. You don't hold that barda as mutter. So Mordechai said, don't ask questions on him who's not using it to wash his face. He holds even during the week you can't use this to wash your face. Why not? Because he holds that it's permitted to scrape off a scab, either a scab of dirt for those who haven't showered in weeks, or a scab of blood for those who got a cut. So it's permitted to do that if it bothers you. But im bishvil yapos, so bishvil tzayre, if it bothers you, like scabs are itchy, so then it's permitted to take it off. But if it's just to look better, that's usser. He holds it's usser to wash your face. If the whole reason is because you want to look better. Now, if you're washing your face because you need to wake up, that's fine. As long as you're not doing it to look good, and if you're to freshen up or whatever, that's aser. So, who do we paskin like? V'inhu k'man savruha, who do they hold like? If you're washing your face to look better for Hashem, then it's mutter. Shenemar, kol pa'el Hashem l'maneu. Everything we do is for Hashem's sake. So when washing your face and when looking, you have to realize that you're doing it because you're a tzelem Elokim, and you want to make a good impression on the olam to understand that we're doing this for Hashem. Very important, very very important. Kopoy Hashem my name. The ma'isa halacha ma'isa. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that it is usher to look into a mirror. Because that is something that a woman does. So that's this isser over here. You're not allowed to do something that makes you look nice because that's an act of a woman. It's like silbash. Anything that women do, men are not allowed to do. And anything that men do, exclusively men, women are not allowed to do. So therefore that includes a man dyeing his hair black to make himself look younger. Because generally women like to look younger. And therefore it's usser to do that. So anything, so included in that, according to this Manda Amar, included in that is washing your face in the morning. We don't passing like this. We do passing like looking in a mirror is usur, but with the if the reason why you're looking in the mirror is because of this, because kopel shem lemanei, or you want to make sure that you're not looking bad, you want to make sure that it's acceptable for other people, then that's okay. So also, Rav Moshe explains that when it means looking in a mirror, it means like studying yourself and like but a quick glance and whatever is fine. But Lamaisa, it's brought down as a sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's also for a man to look in a mirror.
So Moshe is saying only also when you're doing it specifically to improve your looks?
No, he says that it's also for like intent. He says it's an interesting tshuva, but he says like the way to compliment a woman is to say, "Wow, you look like you." This is back in the days when fakeness was in style. So he said that, "Wow, you look like you sat in a mirror for like 2 hours." Like I guess they're crusted with makeup and whatever. But nowadays, when natural look is, that would be like kind of an insulting. So it's kind of hard to understand that tshuva. You have to put it in the frame of mind of back in the 50s when it was normal to walk out with so much makeup. But that's what he says. So he's explaining the Sif Shulchan Aruch like that. Nowadays, they may spend hours in front of the mirror, but the whole idea is to look as natural as possible.
So must I stop my habit of looking in the mirror?
No. There's enough heterim to rely on. But what do you mean, looking in the mirror for how long?
It's a glance. I mean, no, it's not like I'm not doing it stockless.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, it's like a Reish Ayin test, maybe in Shulchan Aruch, if you want to check it up around there. Maybe Reish, okay.
In Aruchim?
Yorde.
Okay.
It's in the Isser of La Yolbash. I don't remember where it is. Around there, Reish Ayin test, Reish Pei, Reish Ayin Zayin.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
To me, it looks like the question is who you're looking in the mirror for.
What do you mean? That could be.
If you're looking in the mirror it's for yourself, to see how beautiful you look, then that's a problem. If you're looking in the mirror,
so it's not really that. The issue is, it's not really a gaiva issue. It's an act. It's the same issur that you're not allowed to cross dress. One is not you're not allowed to try on women's clothing, and the same way you can't try on women's clothing, you can't do women's actions. It's not because you're looking at yourself, because you think you look pretty, like you know. That's not that realm. It's not like a midas issue. It's a cross-dressing issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Amar Kupa Mita El Tzida Venoita, Mata El Tzida Venoita Shema Yito. A box you tip over on its side and you take out either the pot or take out the contents. And because we're scared that if you take out the whole, if you take it out in the normal way, it will fall in. Everybody agrees that if you took out the pot and indeed the cavity that was created there falls in, it is indeed she'asul hafzer, and it is prohibited to go and put it back. Tanan says the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, you take it and you put it back. If the cavity didn't fall in, of course the Rabbanan are right that you could take it and put it back. Is this not referring to even where the cavity fell in? And the Rabbanan are saying you could put it back? And the Gemara says, no. The question is, the Rabbanan are saying it's that they can only put it back if the cavity did not fall in. So what's the machlekes? The machlekes is, like we learned it, are you allowed to, take it out because we're concerned that it will fall in? The Rabbanan are responding, take it out, don't worry, you're not concerned that it will fall in. This one holds that we are concerned. This one holds that we're not concerned. Amar Rav Huna, hay slikusta. If you have Rashi says it's some sort of portable pot that had plants growing out of it, and they had some sort of like besamim plant that you would take out, sniff, and then put back into the dirt. So the question is. And they had these, for the rich people, they used to have this, you know, a special spice servant. He would stand there on the side until his first services were needed. And then he would be signaled in. He would come holding the pot with the spices in it. The guy would take out the plant, smell it, and put it back in. Now, by taking it out and putting it back in, you might be moving some dirt, which is mukzah. So says Shmuel, says that if you have done it already, you put it in, you inserted it and pulled it out once before Shabbos, so therefore another insertion will not necessarily cause any movement of dirt. it is permitted. Ha'is likusta datsa shilfa v'hada datsa. If it was jammed in, taken out and jammed in again, then it's sharia, it's mutter to do it again on Shabbos. However, be'ilah, but if it wasn't like that, then it's usr. Because we're scared that your putting it into the pot will cause it to ruin. Mar Zutra, sorry, but Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says a second halacha similar. Ha'isakinet b'ni orbe, they kept their knives inside the walls of the house. And they just put it into the walls of the house, because they didn't have walls like we had, which is like solid walls. It was brick upon brick upon brick upon brick. I know if you have in your garage, like I have in my garage, a bunch of holes there. That's where I put screws to hang bikes and things like that. So that's what they had in the house also. They had bricks, with the cement in between wasn't so great. So you ever found a hole, you just stuck your knife in there. So if you have datsa, shilfa, again, same idea. If you stuck it in before Shabbos, pull it out and stuck it in again, then it's permitted to pull it out on Shabbos and put it back in. We're not scared that you're going to move any bricks or make a hole or whatever. The ilah, but if not, it's going to be usr. Ma'azot shavitim ravashi amar begordisa dekani shapir dami. If you have reeds that are coming out of a branch of a tree, so the base of the tree is, let's say, very packed with branches and things like that, and you want to put in there a knife in order to keep it there, says Rav Amar Zutra, that's permitted, shapir dami. Amar lemar Rav Mordechai l'Rava. Rav Mordechai said to Rav, that's the second Rav Mordechai we had. Must Rav Katina to Yufta. Rav Katina asked a question, a refutation to you. So if a person buries turnips or radishes underneath a geffen, underneath a vine, so it depends. Is that considered planting or not? The reason he's putting it there is just to guard it so it doesn't spoil. He wants to put it in the ground so it doesn't spoil. So the problem is that might be considered planting, and then you're planting it next to a geffen. So, im hayam mixes alav megulin, if the leaves of this thing are still over ground, ene chayshish, you don't have to be worried that loimishim klaim, because of the isra of klaim, loimishim shvias, you don't have to be worried about planting on shvias, loimishim meiser, and you don't have to say that if it grows a little bit more, you have to take off meiser again, v'nitalin b'shabbos, and fourth of all, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos. Even though some dirt is going to be moved, we don't have to worry about that dirt being moved, because it's a tiltum and a tzad, and says the Gemara to Yufta is a refutation of all those opinions that we spoke out just now. Okay, so that is that. Says the Yufta is for these last three opinions that said that it has to be firmly in and out before Shabbos. So therefore, when you put that spice in or you put the knife in, whatever, it's clear that so you don't have to be worried that it's going to move anything. From here we see that's not true. Even though probably some dirt is going to be moved when you take out this turnip, it says you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos, because it's not considered planted in the ground. It's going to move some dirt. We see that's not an issue.
Oh, the issue there wasn't binyan or stira when you put the knife in the wall?
No. I mean, it could have been there was a shaila of baina on if you make the thing, but there's also a shaila of muksa.
Okay.
Says the Mishnah, Lo kiseu minonalef amaralef, we have another blot to do for today. Lo kiseu miboid yoim, if you didn't cover it, miboid yoim, even with a not, so we already saw the first Mishnah of the Perek says that you're not allowed to cover it while it's still day with a material that will cause an increase of heat. But you're allowed to use a material that will cause no increase of heat, says the Mishnah. But if you didn't cover it on Erev Shabbos, even with such a material, you cannot cover it on Shabbos. You can't cover it when it gets dark either. If, however, you did cover it and it gets uncovered, if you covered it and it becomes uncovered, it is permitted to recover it. And you're allowed to fill up a jug of water and cold water and put it underneath a blanket or whatever in order to maintain the cold. So because it's going to, because you're scared that it's too hot that day. So you're allowed to be in us. In other words, the ruling of the Mishnah is that you are allowed to do hatmana in a thermos or whatever to maintain the cold, just not to maintain heat. Says the Gemara, Amar Behuda Mashmua, Mutr lahatmana satsoinin. It is permitted to go ahead and do hatmana to on a cold item. Amar Yosef, Maika Mashmalan. Isn't that our Mishnah? Tanina Mamala Adam Kitan Venoisin Tachasakari Tachasakasis. That's what we just said in the Mishnah. Amar Abai Tuva Kamashmalan. He did teach us something. The Imam Masnizin had it taught us only from a Mishnah. Havamina Hanimile Dover Shein Darkala Hatman. I would have thought only something that is not normal to do hatmana to. Ava Dover Shein Darkala Hatman, but something that it is normal to do hatmana to. Ava Dover Shein Darkala Hatman, something that it is normal to do hatmana to. I would think that Loi, it's also. No, it is permitted to do any form of insulation for a cold item, even if it is the normal practice. Amar of Huna, us lahatman satsanin, it is prohibited to do insulation for a cold thing. I have a hatanya rebbe hit lahatman satsanin. I, it says that it was mutter. Says the Gemara, lakasha, hamak me delishami me rabbi shmuel rabbi yasi halabasa de shamai. You're right. Originally, he said it is. Originally he said it's aser, but then he heard from Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi that it is mutter. Why was the story? Ki had the yasev, and therefore he changed his psak. So indeed he did change his psak. Ki had the yasev, Rabbi was sitting there. For Amar also lahatman esat zaynin, and Amar the fun of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, Nashir once said, Abba, my father, who is Rabbi Yaisi, hit the lahatman esat zaynin, permitted zaynin to be cold things to be insulated. Omar, he said, oh, if your father permitted it, then kvar hayru zaken. The elder one already paskin, I'm going to go with his psak. So therefore, you're right. If you're quoting Rebbe with some shirim saying it's usr, and you're quoting Rebbe with some shirim saying it's mutter, it's true. Both of those shirim are true. Just, he was chayzer one time. One day he was giving shir, and he said it's usr. And then after the shir, somebody came over to him, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, and said it's, that my father permitted it. So he changed his psak. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, bo re'e kama mechavav en ze'e ze. Look how much these Tamidei Chachamim honor each other. She'il Rabbi Yosi came, if Rabbi Yosi was still around, ha'yakafav the Yoshev lefnei Rebbe, he would be totally subservient to Rebbe. He would sit in front of Rebbe. Because the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, the Mamala Makam HaVoysev Havi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was as great as his father. And v'kafav Yoshev lefnei Rebbe, and he sat in front of Shir by Rebbe. V'kamar kvar harizaken. And nevertheless, Rebbe was mechavad him and says, wow, the elder one already passed him, and he's changed his psak because of it. Omalei Rav Nachman to Daru Avdei. Rav Nachman said to Daru, his slave, Atmilit Seinen, do me a favor, go ahead and cover up and insulate some of this cold stuff. V'aisli maya da'achem kepeila arma'a. And can you bring me that water over there that the goy heated up? So, there's Bishalakam. Shomer Rav Ami v'ikbet. Rav Ami heard and got upset. Omar Rav Yosef, my time ikbet. Why are you upset? Kiravase of it. He's paskin like his rabbeim. Chadak Rav, chadak Shmuel. One like Rav and one like Shmuel. Kishmuel, the Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Shmuel, Mutal Hatman Satsoinin. Like Shmuel, because it says that it's permitted to, like we said, it's permitted to go ahead and insulate cold things. And Kirav, the Amar Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kol Shehu Nechel, Kamoy Shehu Chai, Ein Ramishim Bishulein Achim. Anything which can be eaten raw has no Isser of Bishalakum. And that's why it's mutter to, for those who hold that it's mutter to go buy a coffee instead of Starbucks or McDonald's, or random Starbucks or McDonald's or Burger King along the highway. And indeed, it is mutter to buy it from a Burger King or McDonald's. Starbucks is more of a question. But it is mutter to go get a coffee there. How come? Why is it mutter? And if you don't hold a Chalav Yisrael, you can even get it with milk. So how come? The answer is because it's, what would be the issue? Because there's nothing, no kosher issues involved. What about Bishalakum? The answer is the only thing that's cooked there is really, the main ingredient in that cup is water. And water is able to be eaten raw, like our Gemara says. And that's why it's mutter to go ahead and have a coffee in McDonald's. I only do it Bishas Adchak. The one time in my life I bought it, I had this question. One time I was driving back from wherever, you know, Detroit, Toronto, whatever, and I was getting really tired. So for the first time in my life, I went into a McDonald's and I bought a coffee. And I'm like, I'm going to rely on the heter. And then I'm driving and I pull out of the rest stop and I'm like, hello, what happened to Bishalakum? Forget kosher, it's Bishalakum. So I sat there thinking for like half an hour. I'm like, it was the middle of the night, I couldn't call anybody. So I just didn't drink it. And the next morning, I found out this. I looked up this Gemara. Since it's water, it's not a problem. By then, the coffee was already cold, so I didn't drink it. Tan Rabbanan, Af Alpi She Amru Ein Taimin Afilu B'Davar She Ein Moisef Hevel Mishachasheicha. Even though it states that you're not allowed to go ahead and and insulate something even with something that does not increase the heat when it gets dark. However, if it was already done, you're able to add even more insulation. Imbala Isif Maisif. Ketzed Hu Isa says the Gemara, it's not only that it was done with one blanket, you want to add on a second blanket. You're even allowed to take off the first blanket and add a thicker blanket. So long as it was insulated before Shabbos, you can go ahead and change the insulation on Shabbos. Not only add to it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar, Noitelis HaSadin, and you take off the thin blanket, so Manechas HaGlufkarin, and you put on the thicker blankets. Or Noitelis HaGlufkarin, Manechas HaSadin. Or you can take off the thick one and put on the thin ones. V'chein Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar, Le'osre Elo Oysa Mecham, another major heter. It's only usher to go ahead and insulate, and it's only usher to insulate with a non-heat producing insulation if it's in the original kli rishon. But if you're in your if you already changed to a kli sheni, then it is permitted to go ahead and add insulation. So let's say for our thermoses, these are all kli shenis. It would be totally mutter gomer to go ahead and put a thermos in a towel in order to add insulation, even though I don't think it'll help much, but in order to add insulation. Hashta, why? Because as far as hashta ikurika mikrolay, once you're already cooling it down by sending it to a klisheni, there's no chashash that you're going to go ahead and reheat it. Artuchika mirtachle, you're going to go ahead and reheat it. Certainly not. So therefore, the chashash of insulation doesn't exist in this case. If you go ahead and you do hatmana and then you cover it over with something that is non-muksa, you cover the base with a not with a muksa item, but the top is covered with a non-muksa item. So you can go ahead and do hatmana. I'm not sure in this Gemara why we're not concerned for the loss of the cavity. It might be, tell me if they say this on the bottom there, but I think we must be going here with the opinion of the Chachamim and the Mishnah that are not concerned that the cavity will fall in. That's the only explanation I'm going to say. If they say different, please tell me, but I think that's, otherwise, why is it mutter? Okay, the third case is, but if you do hatmana and you cover it over with something that's muksa, so then it depends. If a little part of the top of the pot is uncovered, you can go ahead and noitel, you can grab hold of that pot, and return it. Okay.
Why can you do this?
Because you're going to grab hold of the pot in the place that it's not muksa.
Okay.
You don't have any way to get to it. If it's totally covered, so then you can't. It's muksa. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Na'ar Shalpishtin Daka Harayu Kizevel. Na'ar Shalpishtin, this Bryce was already quoted earlier. It is like zevel, and it is prohibited. Another din in the Braisa. The Braisa is just listing a bunch of dinim. It is permitted to go ahead and place a hot water jug on top of a hot water urn, or a hot apple kugel on top of a cooking chalent. Why? Because it's just it's maintaining the heat. Avaloi kedera agabe mechem. But not, there's a shayla, there's a kirsa over here, but not a pot on top of a hot water urn or a hot water urn on top of a pot. Because the kedera will give much more heat to the hot water. Okay. Lamaisa, we go ahead and put chalas on top of our crockpots. It is permitted to go ahead and do that. And it is also permitted to go ahead and, put apple googles or whatever. Even if you don't have a blech, you have a dish that's cooking permittedly on the fire, it is permitted to put another dish on top of it. Okay. So I'm just wondering if it's not permitted on top of an urn. I don't remember that it's not permitted on top of an urn. Let me check it up. Not that it should heat up. That would be also, but rather so that it should go ahead and remain hot. And Rebbe hit the lahat masat tzoinin. The same way it's usher, the Tanakhama holds that the same way it's usher to insulate hot stuff, it's usher to insulate cold stuff, and Rebbe says that it's permitted. Ve'ein merazkin lo yisa shelek v'lo yisa barad, and you're not allowed to crush up and melt snow and hail. B'shabbos b'shvil sheyazuv ha'meimav, to get the waters out of it. Avol noizun l'teicha kaisa l'teicha ka'arav, but you're allowed to put it into a cup or a bowl, let's say, and you want to make the cup of the bowl colder, and even though it's going to make the, everything colder and melt somewhat, in a chayshish, you don't have to be chayshish. Okay, I don't know about time. Reuven, you know what? I'm just going to check it up over here, because so I'm looking at the screen now. But it's I just want to see what they say on this halacha with putting something on top of putting something on top. Yeah. Okay, the halacha is that it's mutter, so I'm just not sure how they learn this gemara. Let me see quickly. Oh no, it's my boy Jim, I'm sorry. I know. Feel about even Shakisa is a clever guy. We got him. Me, but I doesn't talk about this case. All right, so let me hold off till tomorrow with regards to this psak on putting something on top of an urn. Okay, so let me hold off till tomorrow with this. Okay, let's start the new parak. When is an animal allowed to go out? And this is a shayla of carrying. With what is he allowed to go out, and with what is he not allowed to go out? Hagamal, a camel is allowed to go out with an afsar. An afsar is not a muzzle, but the it's a thing that they wear around their neck, around their faces, and it's. What? A halter. Yeah, excellent. A halter, excellent. Hagama ba'afsar. The na'aka, and na'aka, the Gemara is going to say that this is a drop of a wilder donkey. Is she's allowed to go out be'achoytim, with a stronger ring in her nose. And the reason why is because she is more, you know, she needs more control. Therefore, with a regular old halter, it's not going to help her. The luvdakin is another type of animal. And this is a special type of donkey, also very wild. Beprumbia, with a bit in its mouth. So in other words, not only are you putting a halter around its face, but you're actually tying it down by putting a bit in its mouth. And it's got to bite down on that mouth, on that thing. It's much more of a control. The sus, and a horse, bishir, is able to go out with just a leash around its neck. So shear is a ring. So what they used to do is they used to clamp a ring around the neck of the thing, of the horse, and then tie a string to that. Any animal that goes around with a leash is allowed to go out with a leash. And it can be pulled with a leash. And this leash, if it does get tame, you can sprinkle the tame waters directly on it, the paraduma waters directly on it, and you can even put it to the mikveh directly while it's still on the horse. You do not have to take it off the horse in order for it to go to the mikveh. Says the Gemara, my na'aka b'chaytam, Amar Abba Barbarchona, na'aksa chivarti. It is this white, we translate it as female donkey, Bizama de Parzoa, with a metal ring in her nose. Viluvdakin Viprumbia, what's that? Amravuna Chamra Luba. It is a donkey that comes from Luba, the Pagi de Parzoa. with this iron bit in its mouth. Levi wanted to get one of these. So Shadar Zuza, he sent money to send him a Chamer Luba. Saru, and they tied up his money, and Sharu Le Sari, and they sent it back with some barley to tell him, just get a regular donkey and feed it barley, and it'll become as strong as ours. They gave him away their secret of the trade. Remember, the Nigri de Chamra, the steps of the donkey, are Sari, are fueled with this barley. Feed it barley, and you'll be good. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechalifin Lefnei Rebbe, they switched, in front of Rebbe, they asked him this question, are you allowed to switch these methods of Shmira? Shel Zubazu Mahu, can you put a Na'aka with a regular halter, but Afser? Says the Gemara, that Loiti Boilach, that's not a question. Because Kevan Deloy Minturabe, since it's not enough of a guarding, so then Masoihu, that's considered carrying. Kiti Bailacha is Gamal Bechaitim. So, in other words, if you put on, you have a tiger, and this tiger cuts out with this little leash, you know, this, one of those elastic leashes that you buy for your cat, that is not sufficient. It's going to be considered carrying. Because the leash is not doing anything. It's not acting as a shmira, because Mr. Tiger can do whatever he wants. And it's not acting as a... So, of course, that's usser. I was one time driving my bike when I was a kid in the streets of Toronto, and on Dufferin Street, a main street over there. And lo and behold, a limousine pulls up right next to me, and it was a red light, and the back door opens, and out comes this tremendous, not small, a tremendous, like 12-foot tiger, right on the streets of Toronto. The guy came out holding a leash. First, the tiger came out first. The guy came out holding the leash afterwards. Boom, it was unbelievable. Anyways, immediately, and it was right next to me. I was right there. And a whole crowd grabs around me. It was amazing. I mean, it wasn't grabbing around me. They were crowding around the tiger, but I was there. Anyways, it was pretty cool. The mice said the leash was a very thick leash. That's the point of the story. The question is, could you use a camel with this chaitim, with this nose ring that's much more sturdy that a camel doesn't need? You're using something that's way overprotected. But Lamaisa is offering a protection. For example, a person has a pet hamster and he buys a leash that's usually used for a bulldog. Are you allowed to use a bulldog leash on a hamster? My. Kevin the Sagali Ba Afsa, since it's sufficient even with a smaller halter, it's Masayhu, so anything more than that is carrying. No, the mice, in the end of the day, it's Nitirusi Yaserta, Loyamina Masayhu. In the end of the day, it is offering a protection, and Mamela, it's not considered carrying. My father said, the second time in a daf that he's talking about his father. Arba Behemus Yaitis Ba Afsar. Four animals are able to go out with an Afsar. Hasus, a parrot, Hagama, Bahamar. Four animals go out with this halter. Lemiute mai, what's it coming to exclude? Lav lemiute gamo b'chaitim, is this not coming to say that davka and afsa is allowed to go out with? And therefore, anything more than that is also? And the Gemara says, no. Lav lemiute naka b'afsa. It's coming to say that something that is not sufficient with an afsa cannot go out with an afsa. B'masni satan in a b'raise, it states, luvdakin v'gamal yaitzin b'afsa. A luvdakin and a gamal can go out with a afsa. So, the question is, what do we see from that? The chiddush is of the brayso that a luvdakin can also be watched with this. Really? I thought we said you needed a prumbia. Okay. Ketanai says the Gemara, ein chaya yoytes besugar. A chaya is not allowed to go out with a sugar, with a leash, a collar. Chananya amare yoytes besugar. They are allowed to. Ubechal davar hamishtamar, and anything that will guard them. So this is the Gemara, b'mayuskinen. What's the case talking about? Ilem b'chaya gedolei. If you're talking about one of these tigers, mi sagile sugar, is this little leash going to help? No. It must be a chaya ketana. It must be a little cat. Ve'le b'chaya ketana. So then, what's the machlekes? Why would a tana kama say you can't go out with a sugar? Mi loy sagile sugar? Oh, sorry, a smaller animal. Says the Gemara, no, it's really talking about a really small animal. El alav chatula. It's talking about a cat. Ike b'nayu. Tana kama savar kevin the sagile b'mishna b'alma. Since a tiny little rope, a tiny little leash is enough. So anything more than that, this collar, whatever it is, this sugar is too heavy for it. And Mamela, it's a masoihu, it's considered carrying. So it's actually a machlekes. Can you use a Brinks truck to guard your $80 wallet. It will guard it, but you don't need that much of guarding for your situation. So that's a machlekas. We don't say it's a masay. Amar Rav Huna Bar Achiya, Amar Shmuel, halacha kechananya, la halacha follows a chananya that it's mutter. Levi Breider Rav Huna Bar Achiya, v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna, have a ka'azli ba'orcha. These two people were going on the way. Kad mechamer de Levi, lechamer de Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And the donkey of Levi jutted ahead of the donkey of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And chalos died to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna got upset. Amar, so he thought that Levi is the one who goaded his donkey to go ahead, as if I get to go first. So he's like, so Levi was like, uh-oh, I don't want to upset him. So Omar, he said, let me think of a shayla that will indicate that I didn't really plan on going ahead of my Rebbe. Or, you know, Omar, emele milsa ki hechid the isoysev daite. Let me say something that will calm him down. So he said, oy vey, look at my chamar. It's such a wild chamar. Omar le, chamar sha'asuk of ro'im kegoyza. A chamar that's this bad. You can't control him. You know, he jutted ahead of you. Ma'u latzis b'prum b'yab shabbos. So you allowed to do extra protection for him. This is what my father said, Mishmei de Shmuel, halacha, or your father said, halacha kechananya. Yes, in other words, you're asking, can I use a Brinks truck for your $80? I'm asking that you're telling me that your ichamar is worse than everybody else. We both know that even still a prumbia is going to be overkill. But nevertheless, it's still permitted. So in asking him the question, he indicated to him that his chamar was the one who was doing it, and that wasn't him. But he got his psak also that it is permitted to go ahead and put a bulldog leash on your hamster. Okay, let's stop over here. Yishak koyach, everybody. Have an amazing day and week.
Did you say a cell phone is not muktzah?
It's muktzah, but it's muktzah machmas klisha malachta le'isr. So you can move it if it's on your table.
And what about hands from kids for a cell phone?
I mean, it's depending on how you treat your cell phone. I don't know if I love to have kids, chisar
and kiss. And how about machmas iser? Meaning some cell phones, when you pick them up, they turn on?
Yeah, that's for sure. That would be also. If it's that, then you can't even move it. I mean, klachar yad, unless it's a... It's actually going to do an iser, then it's a problem, yeah.
And if a soccer ball... you said to move with your foot would not be a heter. What case is a soccer ball muksa?
Well, many people hold that soccer balls are muksa. We, Kipshuta in America, don't go with that. But going with those mahalchim, that balls and such playthings are muksa. I was just bringing out a classic example of moving something with your foot that is not considered a difference. Which, they say ball for the example, but that's only because they're passing that balls are muksa. However, most people say nowadays, in America at least, balls are not muksa. It's in Shulchan Aruch that it is, but... All right.
Great, thank you.
Have a great one, Rabbi Yisai.
Can you put the share online?
This one? Yeah. Sure. All right.